Brethren, again, we want to just reiterate, there is a handout. If you don't have one, please raise your hand.
I wanted you to have this information to read at your leisure, if you care to in the future,
the photo drama that I think you'll find of interest. And we've given you pages from the 1912 convention report, and the portion that we've copied that'll be of interest to you, we're gonna glance at it, but it is a brother Wadsworth, who was a reader, which I interpret as being like a guide, and we'll quickly read over it. But the reason it's in the convention report for 1912 is that he organized under the auspices of the London Ecclesia to take brethren on tour through the British Museum from the London. But the beauty of it is it's not that he gave a discourse, because he didn't. He was not. When they went on tour through the British Museum. And it's interesting because he says, that in itself would have been a feat. However, not to be able to read it all through together, impossible to have given it to you, and then frustration, but you have it to take home. So our opening from this scripture, if you want to write it down, 18 through 20, Jeremiah 32, 18 through 20 in part. And here's God. The Lord of hosts is his name, great in counsel and mighty in war, land of Egypt even unto this day. Still extant in Jeremiah's day when he's writing this verse. And the Lord God, which has set these signs. So, brethren, this means they were extant in Jeremiah's day, and somehow they're going to render him glory. Because otherwise, why would he do it? Now, here's our next verse. This one we're more familiar with. Isaiah 19, verse 19 and 20, again in part. Isaiah 19, 19 and 20 in part. Quote, in that day shall there be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. And it shall be for a sign and a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. End of quote. So here, where we're more familiar is, we think this singular sign, this singular witness, as it were, to Jehovah in the midst of Egypt, in the border connection, is the Great Pyramid. The singular Great Pyramid. But I'm connecting these two verses to show that there were multiple signs and wonders. So if the singular sign, which is the most pronounced, which would be the Great Pyramid, it would then lend itself to interpret the plural signs as wonders that were still there in Jeremiah's day. So we're not getting it confused with the Israelites' dramatic deliverance in the Exodus with all those signs and wonders, because that happened. But that wasn't going on in Jeremiah's day, so you get the connection here. So we think there's some stone tablets, some stone records, some monuments that will be used in that day. This is during the thousand-year day of the Lord, primarily, as Brother Russell suggests in the third volume in the Pyramid chapter, primarily to be a witness to the world of mankind in the future. And the witness will undoubtedly be that the Lord God had created Adam and Eve originally, and it's going to absolutely destroy once and for all any concept of the evolution of the human family. That it had a very distinct beginning. It was by God directly, and thereafter the records will harmonize the biblical account as Moses recorded in the book of Genesis with the various chronology of the genealogies of the sons of Adam thereafter. So that the point being is that these stone wonders and signs, they are corroborative proofs of what Moses recorded in the book of Genesis for us. Now, the additional thought is that we want to emphasize is when Jesus talks about these events and people of the Old Testament, I am going to suggest that these same signs and wonders not only corroborate or substantiate what's in the Old Testament account that Moses had given, but it also confirms what haven't taken place. So you see, for the world of man, these things will become so apparent that it's going to be, it was written in. That's that simple. That will really, it's true. And they'll come to understand. But you and I were blessed to get glimpses of it. And with the Great Pyramid, I think we have our best understanding, because it's the one that's easiest, in a sense, when I say easy, easiest to have been interpreted for us when we look at it, the out more on that. But there's some other wonderful signs and wonders that suggest themselves, and Brother Russell included one in particular. We'll talk a little bit more, you know what we're talking about, the Abydos tablet that he included in the photodrama. So let's take a look at the, in the handout, take a look at page one at the bottom. You'll see that this is the 12th souvenir report. This is the 1912 souvenir report, convention report. Look down. I'm going to pick up reading there. Letter from a reader at the museum. Like, dear brother Dr. Jones, by the resolution of the elders and deacons of the church at London, I was urged to assist me and prepare them to take parties round the museum. This was a view of the monuments and antiquities on exhibition there, which are standing proofs of the Holy Scriptures and so on. In view of this, therefore, seven or eight brethren went round with me on the Saturday previous. Better assistance from these dear brothers. He gives their names. I'm skipping over them. But you will see. But John Egger died in 1910. And now I'm going by Brother Egger dying in 1910 on what I've read in Great Pyramid Passage. But John and Egger, probably a rather common name. He just was a doctor and probably would have been included if that was the same. Anyway. The same, so if you come up with something different, let me know. Carrying on there, turned out the success that it did, for over 300 friends took advantage of the... As I'm asked to put down in writing an account of this visit to appear in this year's convention with this cover. This is accompanied with my best wishes and across the Atlantic, and trusting that the joy of the Lord may be our continual strength unto the end. I am yours faithfully in the loving kindness of the Lord, Wadsworth E. Jones, diploma, S, from the Durham University. He's a deacon in the London church. Now, I'm going to read this little, and I put my degree as a guarantee of some educational ability, as I was oriental for this writing, have come to be seen by me after investigation since I began, and since they are new and very striking, it seems necessary for me to add proof of ability, or minas, with Adam, through the Abydos tablet and the whole following ninth separation. This being, I trust, an entire refutation of the claim of science. So, stopping there with this reading, this is the background to this 1912. I'll touch on parts of it, but all I can say is I can't substantiate everything that this dear brother, Brother Russell felt enough confidence in it to include his suggestions regarding the Abydos of creation as being wonderful evidences to help destroy the concept of evolution, which was popular in 1914, and also to corroborate the Genesis account as given by Moses regarding the creation of Adam and the genealogy, right on down to Noah, and including his son, Ham, that's mentioned. So we'll read a little bit more on that. So turn with me to page 4 on the... I told you wrong. Page 3, item 4, top left of the first column. Page 3, item 4, first column at the top. The Archaic Cabinet. Let's start reading there. This case is remarkable from the fact that it is the oldest in the museum. It contains, to our understanding, relics of the period between the age of Adam and the flood. The key to this discovery, which we are able to put before the brethren for the first time, is the Abydos tablet. In the grave of Seti I, probably the pharaoh of the dreams of the who ruled Egypt in Joseph's time, now there can be a question mark there, this tablet gives but 19 names from Adam to Noah, the exact number contained in the book of Genesis in chapters 4 and 5. We are glad to notice that the museum keeper of the Egyptian antiquities, Professor Budge, assigns the date of the first human ruler of Egypt to be King Menes, as the Greeks called him. The E, no doubt, is accounted for by the fact that the first to discover anything regarding Egyptian antiquities was Napoleon's scientific corps, and hence the French E sounded like an English A. King Men, or Man, one of whose royal oval reads backwards Adam, the word Menes is derived from this, Professor Budge of Oxford and the museum put his date of 4, 1400 BC, about. Our chronology puts it at 4128 BC, second volume, Studies in the Scriptures, Scripture Studies, which is more scriptural as we understand it. There was a bar of gold and a fragment of a porcelain vase marked with his name. His grave was discovered in 1879 AD by 90 feet wide, and all the walls cut with describing all the events which happened during each year. So, wow. Does that give us, for the world of mankind, that when this Professor Morgan's research, and it was then you could demonstrate that this so-called two walls, year by year, the events of what took place up to the almost full confirmation of what was taking place. And why not give it to the location of all these other wild claims that have been made? But nonetheless, for our faith. However, we think it will be useful for the world of mankind, and it's just a suggestion. So we have to leave it more about the Abydos tablet. So skip all the way down to the bottom of this first column here, that last paragraph that starts with the word again. 7, 8, 9, and 10 is shown a family of father and three sons. Clearly Lamech, Necht, and Jabal, you can read them. The peculiarity of these names is speak of Herodotus and Menentho, Eusebius, and Diodorus, identical throughout the 19 names. Egyptologists standing for thousands of years, these extra names. Moses and makes the list of the kings of Egypt clear by recording the descent of the violence to the earth and all those dreadful things described in the book of Jude, with their gods and demagogues, from which the Greeks obtained their mythology. And hunting deer, but with this peculiarity. They each had a jackal's tail in the offspring of the foregoing, whom Moses called Nephilim. On the ark, another tale shows them being cast to wild beasts, who them in the scriptural quote, count, end of reading. Item number four, the Archaic Cabinet. You'll read more details on the Abydos tablet and the accounting, which Brother Russell includes in the photo drama. But we just wanted to highlight once again the aspect that the Egyptian list that Moses use is much longer because they include the names of it were of gods and demagogues, who not unusual. Because if you look at Roman history and Greek history and other ancient history, everyone wants to be the oldest. And so it's not like unlike today with evolutionists. Every evolutionary discoverer happens to be a million years older than the one previous. Because who's going to get paid? You don't get funded. So it's just part of this human nature to try to make a tribute to shortness in conjunction in the genealogical, and you can see easily how the names of the fallen angels and or their offspring, the adversary, who likes to distort the true record. So that the Bible account, rather they go to these other lists, which we think have been included with the names of God. Reread in Faith Foundation, Brother Morton Edgar's work, Mythology in the Bible. These things developed and took place, and a lot of these fantastic images are presented. Faith Foundation. So, I think take a look with me to page 5, please. That is still available for, you know, if you'd like to peruse some of that detail with the assistance of that discourse. Now, the demagogues of Greece and Egypt. This is the photo drama. Page 20 in the photo. Grecian mythology might have had. Now, taking heed to the sure mythology, while their offspring, the giants, were the demagogues. The suggestion may well start a flood of the pharaohs, and some of these historic tablets have been found tracing the ancestry of the. These tablets show so many more generations than the Bible record that the Egyptologists lose all faith in tablets. They confess, however, that these tablets vary and more or less contradict each other. Probably the pharaoh who made Joseph his prime minister. Some question. Under the bottom paragraph here, please. This list of pharaohs is shorter than the others of the purely human line of rulers back to Adam. Furthermore, these are Russell, it seems to me, was using Brother Jones's suggestions as the availability, that he was talking with these professors, the Professor Budge. You can access the first volume for free online, and the others you can purchase online. I finally, for myself, feel comfortable that now I know where Brother Russell, that it just didn't come out of thin air. It wasn't his imaginations. It was rather on having some ability to understand these things. All right. Well, I'm sorry. Take a look. We were just where you were. In the photo drama, you'll see that you have this long picture. It's a drawing. The tall pharaoh that set it a tribute to 76 predecessors, going all the way back to Mean. The first one you will find, I'm going to show you on another part of this handout. So now turn with me, please, to when you look at it horizontally, a number one underneath it in the left side, if you see. Because this is a drawing, and whoever drew it numbered them for our convenience. So this number one is our Mina. Now Karta, the 20th cartouche here, started these, probably as compiled, quite probably after the flood, undoubtedly. We go back to this being cartouches that you can find elsewhere on other mines being correct. Now just turn it back normal. And what we've done is we've numbered 1 through 21. Number one is Mina, like we had read from Brother Jones and Brother Russell. And this now is, and when you read down the first names, the next number two, Teta, 3, Eteth, Enoch, Genesis 4, 17, you can read all the way through, which is our Noah, Genesis 5, 28 and 29, and then his. So the point being that the great paint in the construction chambers up above, as well as his brothers. I'm going to talk all around the Great Pyramid. There probably were those who helped work in connection with their tomb, very close by the Great Pyramid. Now, the ancient historian Herodotus, a Greek, he wrote in the 400s B.C., 400s B.C. Then the next one, the ancient Egyptian historian Manetho, he wrote in the about what they learned from their contemporaries about this history of who these individuals were and what records that were available to him, which we no longer have available to us. Outside, he wrote in Greek, Herodotus wrote in Greek, and they're writing literally 5,000 years, basically. So the point is, that would be like you, Columbus, discovered America and try to figure out that it wasn't Leif Erikson. But we think the Lord overruled it in order for us to have some insight, but it will also more particularly be a sign and what signs in one's account, and that's of interest to us. Now I want to give you a piece of information when you're looking at is what we're going to refer to as the first dynasty. The first dynasty, the first Egyptian dynasty. Number 14 is the third dynasty, and the fourth dynasty, according to Manetho, has a total of 6 kings. And you get to the fifth dynasty. The point is all the pyramids were built during the fourth dynasty. The five great pyramids were constructed by a grandson, Makura, with the third great pyramid. But they're inferior to the one shortly. But when you ever are reading, and you're reading about the fourth dynasty, it's transition the flood. So all the names, Noah was pre-flood, but he came through the flood. So he's our first, because we know that Ham went down into Egypt. We can demonstrate that from Scripture. But, brethren, remember, and keep in mind, that in a centuries and centuries of construction projects and learning, it with Seneferu, Noah, we believe, and his two sons, and that the three of them were the master architects of the design, training a workforce, and they built the pyramids so that Professor Petrie writes that by the 2000s, the long and short of it is that the Great Pyramids came about like almost out of nowhere. There's no long history of slowly learning how to do this. And then once a year, and then it just fall off. It fall off because they started building temples. Because technology and the wisdom of those who to the son and grandson. And then it was over. So they weren't there. Why aren't we building great pyramids with electricity
They've tried, right? Remember the Japanese tried? Didn't turn out so good. Enough of that. I'd like you to turn to page 9. Of all the pyramids of Giza, right on our top. Then the second pyramid that was built by Khufu or Ham's built, probably by some think a son, some think a grandson, but nonetheless, Menkaure's pyramids, much inferior. They're on the Giza plateau. And you can get this right out of the Great Pyramid passages. This is where you find this. Total of 37 pyramids that are in Egypt that the Edgar brothers put on there throughout the rest of Egypt. The long and short of it, I want to emphasize, look at channels that are depicted and then look at the rest of them. Even the next best one. It's lousy. Really? It's an embarrassment. And the third, when they built that, they finished it with mud bricks, limestone or granite. They just resorted to mud bricks, and then it all falls off. And they're not in the pyramid. You see, the pyramid was built in a very specific spot, the only spot on Earth, astronomical, mathematical, precision, but it had to be built into the structure. Then it was tunneled down into the ground rock, into a chamber. And then in the ground rock, they cut a channel. The well shaft goes up to a natural grotto that's really in the stone of the earth, the rock of the earth. And then they built the pyramid. They cut through the pyramid construction up to the conjunction of well as the upward grand gallery that leads to the king's chamber and then of mass. So, brethren, the long and short of it is this is the one that got stone witness in the midst, in the border of the land of Egypt. This was predetermined on how they can demonstrate that astronomically and mathematically with science. We're not. The visual itself carries a certain amount of power and impression to see that this one was. Now, what's kind of interesting to this Professor Budge, curator of the British Museum, Brother Jones puts down 4128, and he gives you a second volume reference. But I'd like to refine that a little bit for you. Or Brother Russell has the creation Adam as 4129. The reason Brother Russell put 4129, and we use 4128 in our Adam's first full year for calculations was the year 4128. That if he was created in about October 2nd, the way we reason, he only had about. So that's a little refinement. But nonetheless, and in 1869, his date that he promoted for the creation of 57. So very similar. It's interesting that the archaeologists who various lists that are available, but they also look at the monuments. They call it the monuments. These monuments to speak of pre-flood. Just like we don't have the Great Pyramids pre-flood. So the thought is, once again, that there's change post-flood, starting with Noah. Okay. Now, here's a point that when we talk about hieroglyphs, we understand what that is. But in the hieroglyphs of Egypt, so if you've got hieroglyphs that are depicting scribes writing with pen and paper, it tells us that there are more ancient writings. And in fact, we think there's writings that predate the flood, but they are on papyrus paper. And unless they were somehow protected, they are days. So a lot of writings that had written out these details are lost. That's a whole other story. Now you have it. But it's to be understood in due time. So we say that. Now here's a point that in George Rollison's book, Ancient History, the 1900 edition on page 55, I quote, "It is doubtful that the names and numbers in Manetho's first and third dynasties are historical. The correspondence of the name Menes," okay, so that's our Adam, first king of the first dynasty, "the correspondence of the name Menes with that of other traditional founders of nations or first men, with the Menes of Lydia, the Phrygians Manes, the Cretans Minos, the Indian Menu, the German Manus, and the like, raises a suspicion that here, too, we are dealing with a fictitious personage ideal and not a real founder," end of quote. Traditions as the first human Does that seem suspicious to you, or does that confirm it to you?
It's a confirmation. It's not a doubtful thing. It's like, wow, stories. And I want to read to you from Haley's Bible Handbook. Haley's Bible Handbook, page 75, on the Babylonian tradition of the flood. He goes through a whole paragraph there. I won't read it, but it's excellent. And then here's some. Athens had a legend that the gods at one time purified the earth by a great flood from the Ark Lamb, but on a mountain, Mount Ararat. And shepherds, yeah, shepherds is good. Falls into the ark, right? Shepherd, herdsman, that's pretty good. The Greeks hang a flood upon the earth for a great wickedness, built an ark which rested on Mount. The Hindu tradition, Manu warned, built a ship in which he alone escaped from a dead as having escaped from a flood sent because men had rebelled against heaven with his wife. He's got about eight more here, Brother Haley put together. Now, the long and short of it is accurate, but to the higher critic, they just discount it as being, oh, they're copying each other. It's part of sifting through, reading all the various records that come to us. Sift out the... But undoubtedly, the Bible is the best chronological record of human history. And it does tell us where they could have gotten included in Genesis 6 and in Jude. By Moses are confirmed in the New Testament by Jesus and the apostolic writers. The few other ancient books, like the Book of the Dead or the Babylonian Gilgamesh account of the flood, etc., I've read parts of them, so we set that aside. Reflect for a moment, and this is a blessed reflection. Moses was used of God to be a sort of secretary for him on Mount Sinai. In other words, Moses recounts that on Mount Sinai, he wrote in a book all the things the Lord had told him to come down and read in the, with him. And they did. It was later, after they agreed, he went up and got the Ten. By the time Moses left Egypt, how he was a secretary for God. And so when he records the Genesis account for you and me as believers in the Word of God, why wouldn't it be accurate? These stones, God's secretary wrote it for us in a living language that we still have. Now, it kind of reminds me a little bit, and I just like this because these are sanctified musings. The Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, wasn't he to have in our book of Revelation? So the Lord God has used the prophets as the Spirit moved the words of Jesus and the other writings of the New Testament. So to think that God, the Lord God and woman's, and then their offspring, it only is logical and makes sense. It actually is harder to believe that that's not accurate, in my humble opinion. The first king of the fourth dynasty, our number 20th cartouche, for various reasons, but I'll just give you my simpler reason. You know me as Brother Rick. My middle name is Derek. Derek is spelled with a K on the end. I say, hello, is this James? Oh, and then I know automatically they really don't know me. Years later, and you saw the name Rick, James, Cunningham. You might have a hard time. See how easily this can happen. So, Seneferu, our Noah, had multiple names. They give him his Lord of Truth. Lord of Truth. How beautiful. He brought the charted our monument building with the 3 to 5 pyramids. His cartouche or oval is in association with them. And brethren have said, in order to perfect a work crew and the architecture of the one great pyramid. In other words, if I was going to build a crew with me to show them how to build the garage, then I could have confidence we could start here. And I'll touch on that a little bit more. Another name for Noah is Light and Truth, the Beneficent King. Now, the one I favor is that at my doom near the Seneferu means Seneferu endures. And I like that because he did endure, didn't he? He built the ark, came through the flood, had his sons, and they the one that endured through that flood. Now, in Time magazine, because these pyramids that had been associated with him had previously been on Egypt 96. So in part of the article that I just highlighted was that Seneferu, in enlisting two of his sons as architects, perfected a system of earthen ramp revealing the finished pyramid. Now, this is the article is quoting from ancient writings. Son Khufu with his brother, which would have been our Shem, that the two together worked to build the great. Professor Petrie states that Seneferu's pyramids exact dimensions. Now, that's his observation of Professor Petrie. The Greek Cheops, he's our Ham. He was the second king in the fourth dynasty. This is a book that's printed by the Portland area Bible students entitled Gleanings from Glasgow. It's even Sweden, if I'm remembering correctly. A lot of it has to do with math. Martin Edgar writes about his subsequent trips to Egypt, including in 1928, or 364. I'm not going to read it verbatim. You can there, but I'm just going to give you the four uppermost construction chambers over the king's chambers. They found in red quarry marks of two cartouches. Two. Or Khamenu, Khufu, and we're going to suggest that's our Shem. Two cartouches up in those construction chambers. I always thought it was just the one, Khufu. The bad that we've read over the year, the Edgar brothers, was that Ham was in Egypt. He that's where locales. Japheth, the other son, the oldest son, he had gone to Europe. So he's not in this. Who was probably our Melchizedek, came down into Egypt at the time that the great pyramid, earlier pyramids as trial pyramids. And when they came in, it records that Khufu thereafter in recorded history was looked at as bad. That the king that came down had a quiet, peaceful influence, and he was known as a shepherd king, and that these two, then he later left. This shepherd king later left. Turn with me to handout page number 8. What we've done here is very simple idea of the time framings that we're talking in. Adam or Mena, known as Menes, and in some places he's known as Narmer, in his first full year. The flood was 1,656 years later, BC. Noah, or Seneferu, was 600 years old at the flood, and he lived in the year 2122 BC. I give you the scriptures to demonstrate that. The Great Pyramid was built during a 30-year period, which ended in the construction began in 2170 BC. Noah lived at pyramid's construction 18 years, so he lived to see it. I just wanted you to understand that. Shem lived a total of 600 years. I'll give you the verses for that. So that's 20 years afterwards. So that this helps us mentally kind of get a handle on what was taken. Some highlight points. Can't go into the detail here, but here's some highlight points. In Great Pyramid, in Gleanings from Glasgow, you can read, and I'm going to give you the page here, you can read, covered a tomb that they had a channel, they had a chimney. And when they got to the bottom, they had to chisel out the stone block cemented in a wall. And they entered into a room furniture of, and the, on display, they reconstructed it at the Cairo Museum. And you get any good book of Egyptology, you can see photographs of it. The wood was no longer extant, but the gold foil around the wood bedpost furniture, which is all still there. And Reznor took 4,000 photographs so he could reconstruct it wonderfully. But here's the curious chest. That is, when you make a mummy, you take out their innards. That's called the Morton rites. That was there. So Khufu's mummy, they have her innards in liquid still. They say it went to the Cairo and it provides the mitochondrial DNA that they're going to be able to make a scientific evidence. And we're going to have our connecting link back to Adam in some manner. This is fascinating to think about. I can't. One other last thing. I know I'm pressing my time, brother. Bear with me on this one. I think it helped with modern science. And you recall robot up the south air-to-air passages. They were closed at the opening in the king's chamber. They were temporarily closed in from rain and soot, and he got rain and dust. He got them all open to the king's chamber. But in the queen's chamber, they discovered these other two air chambers on the north and south, on the north one, and they couldn't get anywhere. On the south one, they went up 200 long and short of it. In 93, they set these German-made robots through the south air channel, and they got to a spot with a channel, and it had two copper handles. One had fallen off. It was about 6 feet. It slid down the passage about 6 feet, but the copper handles. Had to go back, equipped with a drill. They're getting smart, see. So they go up, it's a 1 centimeter hole. They insert the camera, and what do they find? 21 centimeters after, they go up the north one, exactly 208 feet again. And what do they find? They were blocked when it was built. And even though man might get through the first one with a drill and a camera, you're still blocked. I mean, I'm going to offer one. I'm sure there's betters, but this is my little bit. In the king's chamber, they have an open passageway because they're not dependent on others for light. So they always have more perfected humanity. And they can't have that opportunity of life, that free flow of air, until these doors with the copper handles are open. Copper represents perfect humanity. Humanity, in order to have the right to mortal life, you are now dependent on someone to open. We just close there. Thank you for the extended time. Much more food for thought. But the end result is that the Lord God has these signs and wonders in Egypt for our faith now, but mainly for the convincing of the world of mankind in the future.